Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 21. A little bit different this morning, we are going to take a single week break from our study in James. We'll be back next Sunday. I want to share with you this morning a word that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart for today. In Isaiah chapter 21, there is a prophecy concerning Babylon. This is what we read in verse 1. The message came to me concerning Babylon, the desert by the sea. Disaster is roaring down on you from the desert, like a whirlwind sweeping in from the Negev. I see a terrifying vision. Oh, the horror of it all. I see the betrayer betraying, the destroyer destroying. I see you plundered and in ruins. The prophet Isaiah's response to all that he saw begins then in verse 3. My stomach aches and burns with pain. Sharp pains of horror and anguish are upon me, like those of a woman in labor. I grow faint when I hear what God is planning. I am terrified by what I hear, bewildered by what I see. My mind reels and my heart races. I am gripped by an awful fear. All rest at night, so pleasant once, is gone. I lie awake trembling. Whenever I read of God's judgment upon Babylon and the reasons for it, I often begin to consider our own country and become very unsettled by the potential parallels, which seem to be many in number. What Babylon did to arouse God's wrath seems to be what our nation does again and again and over again. And what they experienced of God's wrath, I wonder if it's what we're to one day, maybe one day soon, to experience apart from a repentance and a return to Him. More than that, though, the message this morning is for us, for you and for me. The description of what Isaiah saw and what it subsequently did to him. I wonder if at times we experience the same. What's happening all around us? What's happening to us? What we're going through? What we're dealing with? Sometimes simply what's happening within us. Whatever it is, all that it is, all that life is for us in a given moment. Different scenario, different setting, but because of it all, the result of it all, we feel very much like Isaiah did. We sense disaster near. Disaster coming. It's interesting when you turn to the news and it seems that anymore, anything related to the economy is disaster is coming. Maybe in your own life there's a sense of what's going on or what's happening, rumors that you're beginning to hear. Disaster is near. Disaster is coming. We're alarmed. We're agitated. Do you feel that maybe in life just in general, all that's happening around you, what you're dealing with, what your family's going through, there's a discomfort on the inside. There's something that's an irritant inside you. It's agitating you. It's unsettled you. There's an inward trembling within us. We feel the terror. It's our response as we evaluate circumstances all around us, circumstances happening to us. Oh, the horror of it all. On the inside, we ache and burn with pain. We grow faint, bewildered, disturbed and dismayed. All rest at night eludes us. It's gone. We lie awake trembling, gripped by an awful fear. Our minds reel and our hearts race. It's true, isn't it? Life consists of moments, experiences like that, that do like that to us. There's really a sense, it's the expectation even of life. The troublesome thing, the difficult situation that alarms us, the situation that terrifies us, disturbs us, dismays us, that grips us with fear, creates within the pit of our stomach the ache and the burning pain, makes us to grow faint. It's too much, leaves us bewildered, our minds reeling, our hearts racing. Those things, having to navigate through those things, that's life. Right? Life is filled with stuff like that. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, dear friends, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead. For this is no strange or unusual thing that is going to happen to you. Peter was specifically referencing the persecution believers could expect to face. His message, don't be surprised when you're mistreated, misrepresented because of your faith, because of Jesus and your relationship with Him, your belief in Him, your acceptance of Him and His word and His will and His way. His message, don't be surprised when because of your Christianity, you are hated by the world and you experience the expression of that hatred against you. I think his message applies equally as well, though, to the fiery trials that are part of life. The troublesome stuff experienced by believer and non-believer alike. One writes this, the Christian life holds plenty of wonderful surprises. Friendship, intimacy, heaven itself. But about pain and struggle, no surprise, we are forewarned. It's coming. Peter creates no illusions for Christians under his care. God's plan for your life often includes pain and hardship. When trouble comes, don't be surprised. When trouble comes, you ought not to be surprised. You and me, we have been forewarned. It's coming. Don't be surprised when it does. In John 16, and verse 33, Jesus says these simple words, in this world, you will have trouble. In Matthew 10 and verse 24, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Jesus is preparing his disciples for persecution, for trouble. If he experienced it, he being the master, the teacher, the head of the house, then we, the student, the servant, we can expect the same. He was persecuted, we can expect the same. He experienced trouble, conflict, betrayal, animosity and hatred, that which angered him, that which frustrated him, that which exhausted him. His soul overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He experienced trouble. We can expect the same. So this morning, the message, what do we do when we do? What do when we sense disaster is near? Disaster is coming. What do when alarmed and agitated? What do when because of all that's going on around us and all that's happening to us, there's an inward trembling, there's an ache on the inside, a burning with pain? What do when the circumstances of life seem to be wearing on us, making us to grow faint? We sense it, we feel it. Rather than day by day growing stronger, we seem to be day by day growing weaker. When bewildered, disturbed, and dismayed, what do? When during the night, the very same night that was once so pleasant to us, if for no other reason, the sleep of that night, it was our escape from the trouble and from the turmoil of the day. What now? What do we do now when all through that night we lie awake trembling, gripped by an awful fear? What do we do when our minds reel and our hearts race? What do you do when the pain just won't quit? What do you do when the depression, the anxiety just won't stop? On Friday, I received a text from a lady that I've been coaching, counseling for a few months. She lost her job towards the end of last year and hasn't found anything yet by way of work that she does. Her situation is a bit different. Her options a little bit limited, but as of yet, nothing. And she's not making it. How can you when your source of income is just gone? What do you do? What do you do when the irritating cough becomes the nagging cough that won't go away, that becomes the doctor's message, "We found a spot on your lung"? What do you do? What do you do when after all the chemo treatments you get the news? The chemo has reduced the size of the new tumor, though not as much as we were hoping. The spots have not grown, but they haven't shrunk either. You're hoping for it to all be done. You're hoping for the "it's all good, we'll see you in 6 months" message. Instead, you hear, "We have to do more." What do you do? This last Wednesday, I received a text from a friend. "Denny, a few years ago, I talked and texted you about my oldest daughter. I told you she's going through some rough stuff. Well, we thought things were maybe getting better, but now we have reason to believe they are getting worse. She is spiritually estranged from Jesus and is choosing a lifestyle that is really disturbing. I have to keep reminding myself that even Jesus had Judas. And the Bible does not condemn the father, the prodigal son, by saying the father must have done something wrong. Things are tenuous and very upsetting. I would appreciate your prayers to stand in the gap for me at this time." What do you do? What do you do when things get worse? What do you do when your child chooses estrangement and a disturbing lifestyle? What do you do when you as a father feel like a failure because of their choices? What do you do when the relationship remains broken, the family fractured? What do you do when the prodigal still hasn't come home? And to all my questions for you, you have your story, you have your situation, you have your experiences, some of you right now in the middle of them, and your subsequent question for me, "Pastor, what do I do?" Do you understand? Sensing disaster, alarmed and agitated, an ache inside, a burning with pain, bewildered, disturbed, dismayed, an inward trembling that weakens and steals from us our sleep, minds reeling, hearts racing, stuff of life. What do you do then? I believe it this morning. I really do. I truly do. I believe this to be a right now word from the Lord for us today. If you are there this morning, and that kind of trouble that has and is doing all of that to you, this is what you do. Listen, I say this very carefully, with great apprehension even, and yet with great sincerity and great conviction. Listen, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what you do. If you're not there, but this morning you believe that what Jesus said is true, you will have trouble. This morning you recognize and receive Peter's message. Be forewarned. Don't be surprised. The trouble, it's coming. And to prepare yourself for that so that you might stand. so that your experience would be unwavering triumph, even in the midst of indescribable trouble, this is what you do. I say it very carefully, with great apprehension, and yet with great sincerity and great conviction. Listen, thus saith the Lord. This is what you do. So all of us, no matter the circumstance of our life, may we receive and respond rightly to the word of the Lord today. May we hear what he says to us this morning, and what he says to us, may we do that. Sensing disaster, alarmed, agitated, bewildered, disturbed and dismayed, trembling, gripped by an awful fear, minds reeling, hearts racing, this is what you do. You linger with him. It's his presence. Listen to me. His presence, lingering, abiding in his presence. That's how you endure. That's how you triumph in the trouble. That's how you prepare yourself now, so that that's what you'll do when the trouble comes. Endure, stand strong, unshakable, unwavering in your faith. You linger with him. Listen, you need him. Your connectedness to him, your life in him, will determine whether you stand when everything around you is shaken or whether you fall with it all. You need him. You need his presence. You need to learn what it is to linger in his presence, so as you go out to face the agitating thing, the alarming thing, the bewildering thing, disturbing and dismayed thing, the trembling thing, the make your mind to reel and your heart to race thing, so that you can go and face that in the strength of the Lord. You need him. You need in your life all the things that would strengthen you in him. In 1 Samuel 23, David has saved the city of Keilah from the Philistines. But Saul has now heard that David's there. And Saul's coming to kill David. And so David inquires of the Lord, "Will the people of the city hand me over to Saul?" Do you understand? Will the people I've just saved, will they betray me? Will they turn against me? And the word of the Lord, they will. So David is again on the run. The desert his home, while day after day, Saul searches for him. And then this in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Listen, you need others that would help you to stay close to him. You need others that will help you to be strengthened in him. Can I put it to you in this context? You need this. You need the church. You need yourself surrounded by some Jonathan brothers and some Jonathan sisters, not just friends that will speak kindly to you, but that will strengthen you in him as well, even most of all. You're trying to make it through the sensing disaster, ache inside, burning with pain, bewildered, disturbed, and dismayed, minds reeling, hearts racing, stuff of life. You're trying to make it through that on your own. No way. You need him. And you need in your life those that will help you to be strengthened in him. You need him. You need in your life all the things that would draw you to him. Again, you need this, because this would draw you to Jesus. Listen, if you do this rightly, this will draw you to Jesus. You need his word. You need to worship him. You need him. You need to seek hard after him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. You need him. You need his presence. You need to be in his presence. One writes this, facing a prolonged burden over her husband's health, specifically one occasion where there were frustrating delays as they waited word on a heart procedure. She writes, all I could do, and yet the best thing to do, was to spend time in God's presence. I lingered there longer and longer. She goes on to say, lingering in God's presence will increase your faith in him, provide a place for you to unload your burdens to him, and remind you that he is always near and help you then to never panic. Another writes, instead of obsessing about how to fix things, Lord, I need to keep turning toward you, seeking your face and your will. As I linger with you in your presence, help me to relax and trust in your timing for smoothing out my tangled up places. Listen to what the author then says. Show me how to live with unresolved problems without letting them distract me from you. Can I say it one more time? Show me how to live with unresolved problems. The problem's not fixed. The problem's still there. Show me how to live with that without letting that, Lord, distract me from you. The author concludes, I rejoice that your abiding presence is my portion and my boundless blessing. You need him. You need to be in his presence. You need to experience daily his presence. And can I say it without meaning to sound contradictory to what we said earlier? You need to do that. You need to take the initiative in that. You need to make that happen. Again, the story is David. In 1 Samuel 30, this time David is about to be betrayed and killed even by his own men. While they were off to battle, their wives and their children and all their possessions were stolen away. In 1 Samuel 30, listen, there's no Jonathan this time. David is surrounded only by his own men, but his own men wanting to kill him because of what has happened. It's just David. But this is what we read. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This is good. A Jonathan brother, a Jonathan sister, that's good. But there's a sense you're going to have to learn how to strengthen your own self in the Lord. You're going to have to learn yourself how to seek the Lord, how to spend time in his word. This is great where we can spend time in the word together. But you're going to have to learn what it is to search scriptures yourself for a word from the Lord. Help from him, encouragement from him. It's great to be led in worship with a worship team and a singer and a band and all the rest and just the right music. You need to learn how to be a worshiper yourself. And when it's just you, surrounded by nothing but your trouble, learn even in that moment to lift your hands and to worship Jesus. To lift your voice, praising and worshiping him. Sense the disaster. Feel the ache inside, the burning with pain. Be faced with that that bewilders and disturbs and dismays, makes the mind reel and the heart race. You can't wait for next Sunday. You can't wait for someone to do for you what you could and should be doing for yourself, strengthening yourself in him day by day, even moment by moment. You need him. You need his presence. You need to seek after him. You need in your life the things that would draw you to him. You need him. Do you remember the song? In and out of situations that tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Oh, but when I come into his presence, all my questions become clear. And in that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere. Through his love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in our hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe his name. You will surely find him there. Do you remember? In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Do you remember? Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King. You need him. You need to learn what it is to linger with him, sensing disaster, alarmed, bewildered, gripped by fear, minds reeling, hearts racing. What do? Carefully, but with sincerity and with great conviction. Listen. Thus saith the Lord. This is what you do. You get in his presence and you linger there until you're strengthened in him to stand in him despite any and despite all trouble. This is what you do. You lean on him, all that he is. Lean on and into this. He's sovereign. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in him today. There's nothing outside his control. He is sovereign over it all. He is in control of everything. Listen, everything. That thing making you to sense disaster is near. That thing that has you alarmed and agitated, bewildered, disturbed, dismayed. That thing that has you gripped by an awful fear, has your mind reeling and your heart racing. Listen now, it's true. He is sovereign over that. He is in complete control of that. Lean on and into this, he's good. Lean on his goodness. Listen, no matter any trouble that comes or that you find yourself in, his word is still true and his word is still this. The Lord is good and what he does, it's good. It's still true. He's good. He's gracious. He's kind. Your trouble doesn't change who he is. That agitating thing, that disturbing thing doesn't change who he is. The prodigal son, the cancer diagnosis, the lost job doesn't change who he is. He's still good. He's still gracious and kind to his people. He's your father. You're his child. You're the apple of his eye. Your trouble doesn't change who you are in him. Listen, remember that, dear brother. Remember that, dear sister. Despite the trouble, you are loved by the Almighty God. Even still, you're the apple of his eye. You're precious to him in his sight. Lean on and into this. He's faithful. Oh, so faithful. Unswervingly, uncompromisingly faithful. In Lamentations 3, there's a listing of trouble, that agitates, that makes one sense disaster, that bewilders. And then verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and you know it. Great is your faithfulness. He's reliable. He's steadfast, unfailing and unwavering. He's constant and trustworthy. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Because he does, he knows how to work in everything for our good. He's omnipotent. He has the power to do anything. There is nothing impossible for him. Nothing too hard for him to do. His is the power that is power enough to take what the devil meant for harm and turn it around for good. His is the power to make our difficulty an opportunity for his blessing. We referenced a moment ago, now the complete thought in John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but listen now, here's his power. But take heart, I have overcome the world. His is the power that overcomes the world and all the trouble of it. His is the power to give us peace then despite the trouble. His is the power to give us a peace that transcends all understanding, that makes no sense. What do you do in the middle of the horror trouble? You lean on him so that then you might have peace despite the horror trouble that would make you and everyone else to think you ought not to have peace. Not when it's trouble like that. He never forgets. He never falters. He never fails. That's who he is. You lean on him. You lean on that. Lean on him and all that he does. How about this? This is what he does. He keeps, he fulfills all his promises always. His promise, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He keeps that promise. In Isaiah 43, but now this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. His promise assures us we are always within reach of his strong and loving hand. Can I remind you this morning? Yes, the trouble. You might sense disaster coming. Listen, but you're within reach of his mighty hand. You might sense within you an alarm, an agitation, a bewilderment. You might be disturbed and dismayed, but listen to me. You're within reach of his hand. You ought not to worry. You ought not to be afraid. That thing that has gripped you has your mind reeling and heart racing. Oh, but dear brother, dear sister, you're within reach of his hand. This is the message of Scripture. This is the promise that is for us. That promise that assures us of that, his presence with us, he keeps that promise. He always keeps that promise. His promise, he works all things together for our good, for his glory. Listen, he keeps that promise. Always. But pastor, what about this? He keeps that promise always. His promise, he gives wisdom. He helps. He delivers. He heals. He sets free. He encourages. He strengthens. He comforts. Finally, this morning, learn to trust in him. Trust his sovereignty. That's who he is. He's the sovereign God. At some point, you have to trust in that. Is God in control of everything, meaning your life, meaning that trouble, or is he not? You have to decide. Do you trust him that he is who he says he is? He says he's the sovereign God. He rules and reigns over everything. You got to decide. Am I going to trust that or not? Listen to me. Learn to trust in him. Trust his love. Trust his goodness, his care. Come on, dad, mom. You want your children to trust your love. your goodness, your care. And when they're all, but Dad, but Mom, and I don't understand, and I don't know why. Anybody that questions your love for them, your care for them, your concern for them, your goodness for them, you're going to have a problem with anyone that questions you about that. That's your kid. Nobody better ever question that you love them. Hear them whining all the way through the store, but Dad, why can't I have that? Come and question you about your love for them and your goodness and your care over them? No, they better not. Listen, the Bible says this. You know how to be a good parent, but yet you're evil. You're birthed in sin. How in the world are we ever going to question God's love, God's care, God's concern, God's goodness for us, His children? You're going to have to decide. Do you trust His love? Do you trust that He loves you? Do you trust it? You say amen to it. You underline it in your Bible. It sure sounds nice. God's good and what He does is good. You have to ask yourself, never mind underlining it, never mind saying amen to it. When the trouble comes, are you going to trust in it? Are you going to trust in His love? Are you going to trust in His goodness? Are you going to trust in His care? Trust in Him. Trust Him to be all that He said He would be for you. Trust Him to do all that He said He would do for you. Trust Him to keep His promise. Trust Him to be with you always. Trust Him to, in all things, work all the things together for your good and for His glory. Trust Him to do that. Trust Him. Learn to trust Him. Most of all, learn to trust Him. Best of all, learn to trust Him when you don't understand Him, when you don't know what He's doing. Job, Joseph, Ruth, Moses, David, Elijah, all of them, all the disciples, Paul and Silas, all of them. It would be hard to find any character of Scripture that didn't at some point in time find themselves in a place they did not understand. They didn't understand what God was doing. They didn't understand why God wasn't doing. They didn't understand where God was. They didn't understand what God's will was. They didn't understand what God was working to accomplish. Maybe even simply to say, they knew nothing, but they trusted Him in everything. Listen, trust Him. Trust Him like that. Hasn't He been faithful? Hasn't He helped you? Hasn't He delivered you? Hasn't He seen you through? Listen, trust Him that as He has done for you before, He will do for you again. Trust Him to encourage you. Trust Him to strengthen and sustain you. Trust Him to help you to stand, to endure, to walk you through to victory. In Psalm 118 and verse 8, it is better to trust the Lord than to trust anyone else. So learn to trust Him. When you're sensing disaster, alarmed, agitated, bewildered, disturbed and dismayed, gripped by an awful fear, minds reeling and hearts racing, that's what you do. Careful now, yet with sincerity and true conviction. Thus saith the Lord. What do? The Lord says, this is what you do. You learn to trust Him. You lean on Him and you linger with Him. This last week, all week, I have been preparing for our next message in James. Chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. We'll get there next week. I came to the church yesterday to put everything together, to work on the message, to finish the message. Just before that, I had a few minutes of devotional time. And in that time came this message. I just couldn't let it go. I just couldn't set it aside. But it's our series in James, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. That's where we need to be. I just couldn't do it. I truly sense this is a word from the Lord. An interrupting word. We interrupt this program to bring you an important message. Word. It's interesting. You know this. I'm not really that kind of prophetic preacher. But I haven't been able to shake that either. I keep coming back to our country. This might be a right now message, because soon, for this country, there might be some, oh, the horror stuff that happens. Still, that being said, just me, my perspective. As a pastor, I ultimately have this philosophy. My job is not to pastor America. My job is to pastor you. And so then this message, you have to hear it this morning. Listen, do you understand what the Lord has done? I don't know who you are. I don't know who it would be. Do you understand what the Lord has done? To meet with you here. To speak to you here for what you're going through now. Listen, my brother, don't shrug your shoulders at the message this morning. Don't think it not to apply. Listen, my sister, do you understand what the Lord has done for what you're going through, what you're dealing with? Do you understand what He has done to meet with you here, to speak to you here? He sees you. He knows all you're dealing with. You're alarmed. You're agitated. He knows it. You're disturbed and dismayed. Listen, He sees you gripped by an awful fear. Your mind, you sit here this morning, your mind is reeling. Your heart is racing. He knows that. He sees that. And so for you, this morning, this interrupting message, wait, pause for a moment. Because my son, my daughter needs to know what to do. Linger. Son, daughter, lean and learn to trust. And listen, this is true. I know a message like this comes with its own kind of fear, if you will. A message like this that makes us to respond, oh no. What's about to happen to me to make me need to hear this? This was my thought. When the message is how to stand and how to endure, how to rightly respond to the horror troubles of life, that'll make you to feel those troubles must just be around the corner. I don't know what it is or what it isn't. I would maybe say it this way. Be careful of treating this as some prophetic preparation for some terrible, horrible, life-altering thing. I guess it could be that. That does happen. Even to us as Christians, it does. But the message is more just the reminder of Jesus' words in John. In this world, you're going to have trouble. And sometimes the trouble, it's not just trouble. It's the alarming, the agitating kind of trouble that greatly troubles and disturbs, makes the mind real in the heart race kind of trouble. For whatever, of whatever trouble awaits you tomorrow, next week, next month. Listen, don't miss what the Lord has done for you today. To meet with you here. To speak to you here. Because the Lord knows. And so that you might be prepared, strengthened in Him to stand in Him, no matter any trouble, no matter all the trouble, the Lord comes to meet with you. Wait, pause for a moment. Me, the all-knowing God, I see what's coming for my son. I see what's coming for my daughter. I see it, my son, my daughter, they're going to need to know what to do. So the Lord speaks to you this morning. Linger with Him. lean on Him and learn to trust in Him. Father, You know my heart. I pray that I haven't missed it. I don't believe I have. Someone in the room right now that's going through exactly what Isaiah went through. The circumstances are different. They've not received a prophetic word about some country. Most likely they haven't. But circumstance of life, the trouble of life, has made them to feel like Isaiah felt. And Lord, You have interrupted our normally scheduled program to meet with that brother, that sister here this morning, so they might hear, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what You do. When the trouble's like that, this is what You do. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I simply know, I simply would believe it with all my heart, but that You're here. And You know that the word is for you because of what you're dealing with and going through. Just in light of this, there's going to be trouble. My brother, my sister, you might not be in it this morning, but you recognize there's going to be trouble that comes. Listen, the Lord meets with you. Maybe He sees that you're unprepared. The trouble's going to hit you and knock you over, and He doesn't want you hit and knocked over. He wants you living in victory. He wants you marching in triumphal procession right through that trouble, no matter what it is. Maybe He comes simply, you know what to do, but He comes simply to remind you this morning. I just know it. I just sense it. I believe it. That the Lord would speak to us this morning. We linger with Him. We're going to do that just for a moment. We're going to linger in the Lord's presence. We lean on Him. Maybe as you lingered this morning, you would open your Bible and you would find a promise to take hold of, a word from the Lord that's going to be your word to see you through the trouble that you're in. We're going to learn to trust in Him. Maybe we do that this morning by declaring that, "I trust in You, Lord. I trust in Your love. I trust in Your sovereignty. I trust in Your goodness. I trust in Your promises. I will not be shaken by the trouble because I will stand strong and secure on the firm foundation that is my trust in who You are and in what You do." Just for a moment. Just as the music plays, it's going to be quiet. I know, don't be uncomfortable. It's not awkward. It doesn't have to be weird. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord this morning. And respond to Him. Father, I pray that You help us to hear Your word this morning and to respond rightly to it. That all of us today are prepared for whatever trouble comes, whenever it comes. And for my brother, for my sister in it right now, they are prepared right now to stand strong. All around them, everything might be falling apart. But they are being renewed day by day in strength in You. We hear Your word. We accept it. We receive it. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray that all of us, we learn to linger. We learn to lean and we learn to trust more and more and more on Him. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you today. Would you stand? Would you extend your hands to receive His blessing? As under shepherd, the great shepherd and high priest of this assembly, I declare it over you. This His word. This must be true. This must be true for you today, this week. You His son, you His daughter. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name. Would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen.